sweet cow, small at birth, born unassisted, up and suckling this unassisted, nicely muscled, elegant grandson, Lady Jellin, and my station double muscle. He's the damn probably the best holder of the prize money.
Hello, and you're very welcome to Out the Gap, the Irish Food and Farming Podcast. My name is Noel Clancy, and today I'm standing just outside Thurles Mart, here in Mid Tipperary, or Mid Tip Mart as it's known. Just inside the mart here in front of me, I can just see across some of the steel penny here, there's some lineup of bulls here. It's actually it's a Saturday, and it's the first Limousine Society show and sale here in Thurles. There's usually a selection of bulls sold here every year, but this is actually the first sale held by the Limousine Society here. So there's a small entry of bulls here today. There's a variety of people coming and going there. I can see most of them are independents now. People are starting to prepare their bulls for the sale. So we're going to go in, have a walk around, have a chat with some of the faces that are here. You can hear the hustle and bustle in the background. The bull's being prepared.
It softens the hair. So it's a good job on the bull with a coat like that. So I've soaked putting him already now, right? So no more than this nice bull 17, it'll just leave the hair that is not that sticky after the soak. It's as the day goes on, the foam will do you good, that it won't be stuck to him. Come on, good lad, come on, good lad, come on, good man. Good lad, come on, good man, come on.
And is that the real art with the clipping, that if you take too much hair, you can't put the hair back on, like, in other words?
Some young lads think part of a pile of hair on the ground.
And if you take too much hair off, sure, it's nothing.
It's like a bull like that bull there, right? Big, long, clean bull with no gut in him. And some young lads, the first thing they do is they shave his belly and make a pure greyhound out of him altogether, you know? It's about knowing what to take off and what to leave on.
So, John, you're what you're called, cattle fitter, yeah. So
yeah.
You're here doing up a few bulls for Jim Parkinson before the show on sale here today.
Yeah.
And I suppose to describe for anyone that's listening to this who is not involved in farming, we're talking about Limousine bulls here, so they're kind of an auburn, kind of a deep chestnut colour, generally speaking.
Yeah, I suppose they are helping a friend out, Jim Parkinson. He has four bulls here, I suppose four outwintered bulls, and it's easy to work on them. All the bulls have enough hair to get it up in them, which is scarce on bulls that will be housed indoors this day of the year. So I suppose bulls would have been washed yesterday. Jim had no preparation done, just washing. I came here this morning at 8 o'clock and I started putting maybe a conditioner into the hair to get the hair lifted, and that followed on by a bit of red soap and a bit of shaving foam. And I suppose you just keep working the hair all day and keep the hair soft in them. And I suppose an outwintered bull is lovely this time of the year because you can get the hair up on him. So I suppose we have the four bulls ready, two good bulls and maybe two comrades for them, but two very, very nice natural outwintered stores and lovely kind cattle, I suppose. His breed is, I've never seen him with a wild one yet, and I suppose we've been helping him a good few years, but yeah, lovely type of cattle, lovely natural cattle, easy calving type of cattle.
And the whole thing with the doing a little bit of clipping or whatever else is to show the animal to their, show off the animal to their best. It's not to hide things
I suppose now you can't really hide faults because you haven't enough hair. If you got into maybe a real winter coat the month of November, December, and you were really good at the clipping, you will hide a certain amount. Like, what you want to do is show off their best attributes. Yes. That's what you want to do. Make them look presentable. You never seen a bride looking bad on her wedding day, you know, that kind of thing.
And the other thing, I suppose, you have people coming here and you hope they're going to spend a good bit of money, so it's a fair investment.
Yeah,
we're in the middle of a dairy area here, so I suppose.
Yeah.
With the limit, you work also off-farm with the
Dove Genetics,
yes.
Yeah.
And so, I suppose, is this breed, it's probably the most popular beef breed now, is it?
Well, I suppose it's the most popular beef breed of all with us. In Dove, 30% of all beef semen sold is Limousine, across all the breeds. So one in every three straws that goes out is a Limousine straw. So I suppose, why? Because they're so versatile. They're used on dairy cows, they're used on beef maidens, they're used on beef cows, and I suppose there's such a range within the breed. And you can even see that here today. there's nice easy calving bulls, and then there's bigger, heavier bulls for more the terminal market maybe. But I suppose one thing, farmers seem to be getting afraid to calve cows. Calving is a huge thing now. Are we losing our courage, or maybe our cow type is getting a little smaller and they're not fit to calve now? I don't know, but easy calving is playing a huge role in all breeds at the minute, let it be Limousin, Charlie, Blue, Angus, you know. So, but I suppose, yeah, the Limousins are in a good place. I suppose as breeders, we all need to keep our eye on the ball. I'm a Limousin breeder myself. A lot of it has been dictated to us by figures, so you just can't breed whatever you like anymore. You have to tick the boxes in regard to what your market wants. And that, going forward, is going to be more figures with the new suckler scheme. So I think it's about a balance. And I think that's one thing, Jim, he's a bull there, lad 8. Really nice bull, medium size, lovely, soft flesh and type. If you were feeding young bulls, he'd be a great bull for that job.
And John, now it isn't today or yesterday now you learned how to turn the... I mean, you could tell me there, if I went in there into the pen and I could ask you, can you teach me there in a couple of hours now, can I bring out this bull to look as best as you? I'm not going to learn that overnight. You're at this since you were very young, are you?
Yeah, I suppose started off with an Angus ute development many years ago. I'd hate to tell you how long. And a man from Scotland, George Cormack, and I suppose watched him that day and came home and made plenty of mistakes after that. And I suppose Richard O'Byrne, then a man above in Galway, the two of us would work together now, but fell in with him when I was 18 or 19 and learnt most of what I know from him, you know. And I suppose if you want to watch a master work, he is the master still.
And when you'll be going into the ring I set out here behind us at the sawdust, when you go in there later and the judge is going to be walking, he'll be getting each individual animal to walk around. So your job in there is to show the animal off to the best. Your job is to prepare the animal before it goes in, and then when you're in the ring, you're watching the judge the whole time, I suppose.
I suppose just on that, like, regards clip and show and all this, I think a lot of it's been overdone now. I think people think they have to have a pile of hair on the ground to think an animal is clipped. There's some bulls you mightn't take 50 hairs off them. And regards showing them, I think the thing is to let the bull show himself naturally. I think a lot of people pulling the heads off them and let them dander around themselves. Yeah, show them to the best of their ability. But a bull looks far better natural than he does with his head being pulled one way or the other. And yeah, I suppose, look, it's great to see a lot of young people here, young and old here. And I suppose...
Are we still in the young category, I wonder?
I hope so. And here's a man you should have a few words of coming now, George Chandler, an advocate of the breed.
Hi, John.
Yeah.
He doesn't know me. He knows my father.
So I'm here with Martin Manager here in Midship, Martin Ryan. Martin, how has the whole Martin thing changed in the last couple of years with COVID and everything else?
I suppose I started here back in 2016. We actually even tried online selling at that point with very, very little uptake. We only had maybe 10 or 12 registered buyers. I suppose COVID really changed the setup there. We actually had to go solely online for certain periods. We'd online and only a maximum of 20 in the ring, and then it was stretched to 40 and then we were closed again. But if I take it at the moment, we have over 3,000 people registered to bid with us online that are known customers to us, and people from all parts of the world, not only the country, bidding on different sales. Like, we would have had timed auctions, which we never would have had before. It's completely opened it up. And I suppose if we look at maybe 2 weeks ago there, I remember looking at one statistic for the ring, it was 51% sold online. It has really changed it up for people, and it's given people an option, but I suppose we wouldn't have seen before. And even for people that want to sell their cattle, well, they can say, they come in the morning, they can look at those animals and say, well, my animals look like paying X, Y, and Z. They can watch the sale online, or they can actually go to our website and see the price reports. And, you know, some places they'll put up the top prices of the top lots, but we'll actually put up everything that's sold, so at least people can say, well, okay, there's the top, there's the bottom, there's the average, and it gives them something to go with.
And it's fair to say, I suppose, that the online end of things would have never progressed as well as quickly as it has. It probably would have taken 20 years to drive it on as much as it drove on. And like some market managers around the country, I suppose it should be fair to say, resisted the switch to the online system, didn't they, I suppose?
So at the start of the pandemic, we actually started off with basically matching buyers and sellers and weighing individual animals based on the trade up to that point. So we had about a 2 month window there that we operated in that regard. We moved to online then. As I said, in 2016, we had maybe 10 or 12 registered people. They just didn't take up the facility, you know. And it wasn't as good a facility as we have now. You could only bid if you were actually on site. So it actually removed the remote use of it. People couldn't bid if they were off site. So at the time, we could only work with the people we knew were actually there. You know, we didn't want some chap in a far off land that didn't know anything about cattle to actually end up buying something. But if we look at it now, you know, we can approve everyone, we can get more details for them, they provide all their information, and we can cross check that with our system, so we know if they're customers of ours, or we can get in contact with them before they intend to buy and what they're looking for, and maybe fulfill their needs. I suppose the online was certainly a relief to us, trying to match buyers and sellers. Now we weighed several thousand cattle during that period and matched so many buyers and sellers, but certainly there was people that maybe weren't overly happy with that system, because if somebody wanted 10, send them out to someone with 30 cattle, well, the person with 30 cattle didn't want to only sell the 10 chosen ones, they'd like to go and sell them all. So it made life a little bit more difficult in that regard.
But I suppose the main thing with the online thing was that it actually allowed the mart to trade in a similar amount of throughput as normally would have had, rather than a big fall off with COVID restrictions and everything else.
Traditionally, we would have had a peak in March and April and October, November. So unfortunately, with the pandemic, it really hit the country in around the 17th of March in 2019. But if we actually look at it, when we started our online sales in the month of May, our numbers actually continued right through the summer and left us quite similar to the previous year. Otherwise, we'd have been really fighting an uphill battle in terms of actually regaining customers that maybe went to farm-to-farm sales and maybe went to different roads via Dundeal or whatever the case may be. But what we've seen is, since the online has come in, there's more people watching it, there's more people bidding online, and there's actually more numbers coming through the mart.
So I suppose since COVID, is that mart actually trading more since than before it?
So at the moment, we're actually trading more than we would have beforehand. I suppose it kind of eliminates a certain amount of friendships or maybe camaraderie that would have been around rings otherwise. You know, if you saw your neighbour or your brother bidding on animals, for that matter, you'd find it very hard to bid against him if he was standing beside you. But when it's online, nobody knows who's who, and yeah, it allows a bit more freedom.
So yeah, there's an anonymity, I suppose, there, isn't there, for people?
There certainly is an anonymity, and there's people that really work part-time. They don't have time to come into the mart. They could be drinking their tea on the side of the road, but whatever walk of life or work they're at, and suddenly, you know, the mart is open to them. They're not waiting for a bank holiday, for example, just to come in and work on a Monday. They can pick off their cattle and collect them in the evening after work.
And so a mart, it's fair to say the whole mart thing has to evolve, I suppose, to keep going. We've seen a lot of marts fall by the wayside and everything else. So the whole live weighing thing, that service there that you're providing to people is very important there. You're an independent weighing service and everything else, you're land agents and everything else. So it's fair to say there's a lot more to the mart than just the ring sales and say one day a week. I mean, a mart can't work anymore just doing a one day sale a week, really, with the amount of staff you have and everything else.
With the numbers we're putting through, it simply wouldn't work, I suppose. People, they have a certain expectation of a standard they want when they come into the mart. Like, if we tried to operate with weanlings, bullocks, heifers, cull cows, dairy stock, and the calves, and put it all into the one day, it simply wouldn't work. It's very difficult to actually get staff at the moment, number one, and it's actually very difficult from a logistical point of view to actually have that many numbers on site at any one time. So if we look at it, we've gone for our bullocks, heifers, cull cows on a Monday. We offer our dairy suckler sales and calves of a Wednesday, and for the back end of the year we have the weanling sales on a Wednesday. So it separates it out. You have different clientele for different types of animals, and not trying to bring everyone together the one day. So it's given us a greater spread than we would have maybe had before. But I suppose the online, as we said, it's given different portals between the time sales, and some of our sales have been online only, you know, on farm. So the animals never leave the farm until they're actually sold. Well, this really becomes a bonus if they're sold for the likes of export to the UK. They don't have any quarantine periods afterwards.
Yes, and I suppose the online sale is allowing people, they can go on, they can make an appointment, visit the animal on farm, but the animal never has to leave the farm to go to a mart to be, it never has to be moved before it's, until it's actually sold.
Certainly it's a bonus. I suppose some people have a conception that the mart is a place that they don't want to go, and they like the idea of selling at home, and I suppose it leaves that option there for them. You know, we're trying to cater for the needs of those people, and certainly there's a lot of work in, say, the likes of these pedigree animals or these commercial show type animals, you know, and actually presenting them, whereas if you can actually show them on farm, there's less logistics, number one, and it really cuts out maybe some of the people that are just on for a day out. You know, you're bringing the people that are actually looking for it, and still a lot of people just buy them online. They'll go with the photos or the videos and the information, and are happy to do so.
And you mentioned the day out. I suppose we'd all traditionally have seen the people that would come to the mart every week, and they would maybe only be buying one or two days a year, but they'll nearly come religiously, maybe elderly farmers or whatever else, and they're meeting their friends and they go to the canteen and everything else, but there's a big drop off. The numbers, I suppose, the numbers have never fully recovered, have they? Because the online end of things now, part-time people and stuff like that, it facilitates them. They can look in without actually attending the mart, so it's very flexible that way. But I suppose it's killed the numbers a bit around the ring.
I suppose we would have actually streamed the sales before, the people could watch them online, but there wasn't a huge uptake on it. Now at the minute we're seeing an awful lot of, particularly dairy farmers that maybe don't have a lot of time on their hand, will watch the sales before they decide to sell their cattle, and it gives them an idea of what their stock are worth before they go. So they're happy to say sale or no sale, so they can work from there. Number wise, we've definitely seen less people out for a social gathering as such. Some people are still quite concerned with COVID. They don't really want to travel out. They don't want to really mix with groups of people. So it was definitely seen a fall back there. A lot of people would have even before coming in for a hot dinner. As simple as that. You know, when you see a couple of guys out of offices in town and they're inside in suits in the mart, you kind of scratch your head for a moment and say, what are they doing? But you know, there was ample parking, the dinner was served up in 5 to 10 minutes, and they could go away again. So it really suited a lot of people before, but definitely we have seen changes.
And I suppose it's fair to say, Martin, that the mart is providing a safe transition of funds from my account to yours or whatever else. So it's giving people, it's independent, and I suppose it's giving people they're safe in the knowledge that their money is safe, basically.
I suppose the mart's originally set up to replace the fairs originally. That would have been the traditional changeover that we would have seen. Why was it set up? Was the safe transition of funds, and that was the number one reason. So nobody was actually getting caught. If they sold their animals to any one individual, they were going on the basis that they were trustworthy and that they were going to get paid. But
a lot of the agents said that at the time didn't want the mats coming in, because really farmers hadn't much clue, but they didn't know what weight their stock was in the fairs. The fairs, you could argue, in their day probably were unfair, rather than, because they really didn't, I suppose the producers of the animals didn't actually know what their animals weighed, and they probably didn't really have an idea of their full value either, didn't they? Not because until the market end of things came in.
It certainly offered that level of transparency. People could see what other animals were making. Like I said, they could compare with one and the other. So it was set up to offer a fair platform really between buyer and seller, so both people know what they had and they could compare it to the other animals. They could say whether it was a good price, a bad price, or a fair price, you know. It gave that option. But I suppose the number one reason was the guaranteed funds. That was really why the marts were set up, that nobody was actually caught for the price of their animals. Like I seen other marts there, since the licensing by the PRSA came in, that we pay into the PRSA compensation fund every year when we renew our license. And what that offers is it offers protection to our clients. So if something happens, God forbid, that those checks that are issued while we're licensed would be honoured regardless. So they'd be covered by the compensation fund. So if you take a look at some of the other mares that ran into, maybe bother, we won't go into the names, but what happened was they weren't actually registered with the PRSA, so they had no longer any protection for their clients. So that's why it's important that people actually look at the PRSA number to see a license when they come into a premises. It'll be displayed and they can ask people for their license.
And I suppose, Martin, outside the MART management end of things, you'll be well known there in the pedigree circles with Gold Star Charlie. I suppose people would see you at all the shows, they'd see the whole family. It's a big family affair there.
It certainly is. We're all involved. It's something we've been at for a long number of years. I don't think I remember a summer where we didn't go to a show. But I suppose it's been a great social outlet for us since we were kids. Like, we'd know people from Malinhead to Mizzenhead and all across the country, as well as even people that we would have sold cattle to in Scotland, Wales, England, even into France. It's something that's really kind of opened up. But maybe Brexit has made it a little bit more difficult for those UK sales. But certainly, you know, we kind of title it a showcation when you go to a show in another location. So it's something a bit different that we enjoy.
And people would say, I suppose, that, yeah, some people, the detractors say the agricultural show, that, you know, they're over-emphasised and that they're not really that important. But I think with COVID and everything, when they were closed there for down for the last couple of summers, this has been the first summer now where there's actually shows that people can attend in crowds and everything else again. So I think it's like everything, when you can't go to something, you realise that what value they had, like as a social outlet even.
I suppose there's a huge social aspect to it. Like, we wouldn't have had shows, with the exception of one since 2019, with the National Charlie Show in Elphin, when there was a brief window open for people to actually attend outdoor events. But other than that, it's been very limited, with the exception of sales. You know, you're allowed to take animals to sales, but there wasn't the same crowds as we would have seen before at those. Certainly, it's something that you wouldn't miss it until it's gone. You know, you find yourself on a Sunday afternoon, you're saying, what used I do before? You know, and you know, the sun is shining and the cattle are out the field, and you say, you kind of quickly come to realization, you know, this was the weekend of Clonmel Shore, Rathdowney Shore, whatever the case may be. But it certainly was a big change for us anyway.
I'd say the biggest change in the show and season will be the cost of diesel.
It certainly will, and the cost of feeding as well, that's certainly going to increase. Some of the smaller shows are probably going to struggle a little bit, maybe with the cost of insurance and whatnot. It is going to make life a little bit more difficult for them. Definitely feed, diesel, all those inputs is going to be a problem. But at the same time, it's a huge shop window, and if you don't have animals at it, well, you're almost left behind. You know, it's like when you read something in the paper, you know it's there, but if there's no article about it, you won't know anything about them.
So I'm here with Stephen Tierney, and Stephen is farming, family farming out near Slievenamon, down in South Tip, just near the town of Feathert there. And Stephen, you've got the enviable task of being the judge here today. So what are you looking for, Stephen, in these bulls?
Yeah, I suppose this, thanks, Noel. This is my first time actually judging a sale. So I suppose everyone has their own flavour in a bull, but I kind of go for a bit of growth and good lengthy bull. Correct, I suppose, and plenty of muscle, bit of boat, and well able to walk. That's the main points I'd look at on a bull, I suppose. Not.
Yes, you're looking at it like you have a fairly big suckler herd yourself, so you're looking at it, he needs to be functional, number one. People are going to spend €2,000 or €3,000 on a bull at least, so he needs to fulfil his duty. He needs to be able to move.
Yeah, if he can't do the job he's entitled there to do, there's no point, I suppose. You're not going to have any calves, maybe, potentially. So, first of all, that's the first thing to have right. I suppose a bull that's not overly done or pampered, you don't want him in too good a condition, I suppose. You want him fit, not fat, I suppose, is the word for it.
And a judge, I suppose, you're one person in there knowing, it's very much your own opinion, really, isn't it? And I'm sure not everybody's going to be happy with your decision, but that's the judge's job, I suppose.
Yeah, sure. I suppose it's whatever catches your eye, I suppose, on the day. It can be everyone has their own everyone has their own opinion on bull type, I suppose. And I suppose every herd has their own objective too, where if someone is producing maybe say breeding heifers, or and then there's a man that's producing or a woman that's producing for weighing and sales, or it's a different type bull, so I suppose it's a different market. Say a dairy man isn't going to go in and buy the roundest bull there, or the biggest bull, I suppose. He'd be looking for an easy calf, and which I suppose the limousine has the kind of they kind of have the advantage, whereas they can kind of tick all the boxes, I suppose. So you're kind of, you have different customers for different bulls, I suppose.
Very good. Well, best look at the judging later on, Stephen. And are you finished calving at home, or are you still calving?
Oh, we're still at it, Noel, yeah. We're still at the late nights and early mornings.
And would you not, you're in the middle of a dairy area here, you wouldn't be tempted to switch enterprises, I suppose. There's big pressure now on people, isn't there? A lot of people have went, but suckler herds have went by the wayside in recent years.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, sure, it is, once you're in it, you're committed to it, I suppose, is the problem. But, sure.
It's a bit like a good marriage.
I suppose.
No comment.
I don't know anything about that now yet. But, no, it is, I suppose, you're committed to it. I suppose, look, it is, as long as we can sell bulls, we'll stay at the sucklers. I suppose I kind of have a love for them, so it would be nice to be able to stay at them if I could at all.
Yeah, and they do it. They show themselves off well there earlier, even talking to John earlier. They're just preparing the bulls there, and they're lovely, just the colour of them, and that they shine up well, don't they?
Yeah, they're nice cattle, in fairness.
And they're much more docile. They would have had a reputation years ago, I suppose, of being flighty, but they're much more docile now, aren't they, generally speaking? Even the AI bulls coming through, most of the limousine genetics are a lot more docile, aren't they? They seem to be a lot quieter.
Yeah, they are. It's a lot of handling too, I suppose. They're well handled now, and you could nearly pick a bull by their breed line for docility, like, so it's kind of it's bred out of them at this stage. So there's nobody looking for a wild bull anyway, so you're not going to be able to sell them. If you do bring out a bull to a sale that he's a bit flighty, there's no one going to look for a bull like that. So.
That's great, Stephen, and best luck with judging later on.
Thanks a million.
So the bulls are making their way in as they're being led into a ring, and the floor is covered in sawdust, and the judge, Stephen Tierney, is making his way into the ring also. He's going to start judging the two classes of limousine bulls. They're all very well turned out. All the owners are out in their white coats, and the bulls are looking well. So the show is over. People have brought their bulls back to the pens. The prospective buyers have come in. Some of them are still wandering around looking through the pens of bulls, and the sale is just starting here, so people have wandered in towards the ring. Some people have looked at the bulls and will bid online, and as I say, others have come in and actually they're at the ringside. And you can hear a bit of a buzz starting in the background, and auctioneer George Chandler has started the bidding behind us.
In the jungle, okay, cool rain, rumble in the jungle, lady on the sweet calf, small at birth, born unassisted, up and suck in the sun assisted, nicely muscled, elegant grandson, lady Dylan, at my station, double muscle. He's the Dan, probably the best holder of the prize winning fantastic, lady Dylan from the Drummond herd. Dan's large lineage includes sons of Ronnie Cork, Marla Cork, lady Dylan, top price in the sale of
So George, I suppose as an auctioneer here today, the beef trade, the lamb trade has been strong and has been strong for the last year and a half. As an auctioneer, I suppose, when the trade is hot, it's very easy to, I won't say it's very easy to sell, but it's probably much easier, and you have a lot of experience. But on the day when the trade is quiet, or I suppose in the current circumstance where there's not as many since COVID around the ring. Some people are watching online or bidding online, or they come in and see the stock in the yard, go away to their day job or their office or whatever, and they're flicking in. Is it hard to get the feel of the room? A bit harder than it used to be when you would have started?
It is, and in one way it's sad because, you know, in Kilkenny, where I sell mostly, you had a lot of retired farmers coming in. You had older farmers who were, you know, out there in the community, and they're forgotten about, you see, because they can't go to the pub now, because if they drink their 2 pints or 1 pint even, they're nearly afraid to drive home, you know. So they came into the mart to socialise, and that was forgotten. And now, of course, because of COVID came along and there was restrictions on crowds, they're not inclined to enter, and of course they're nervous themselves, you know, that's natural enough. Hopefully that will change a bit, but it's definitely, you do notice the difference. There were farmers that attend, retired farmers mostly, religiously on a weekly basis, and then you'd see them going down to the restaurant getting a cup of tea or something. They go in and buy the farmer's journal. You see them chatting around, no rush home, naturally enough, they're retired, and just socialising. And that aspect is gone, and that's a worrying aspect that we shouldn't, you know, specifically if we're involved in the country, if there's someone sort of isolated and on their own, you know, it might be no harm to put your head in and say hello to them, because they did use that as a platform to socialise, and that is no longer there. And you mentioned online. Online has become very important now. You know, it is. We said before, no, you must be joking. No one will bid on a camera on an animal. But now it's commonplace. And for example, in Kilkenny, and I suppose in Thurles here, mid tip, 40% of the cattle will be sold online. And now, having said that, some of those people may well be in the mart, but they're bidding online.
Yes, yeah, it's brought the anonymity to people as
correct.
Well.
Correct, and yes. I suppose the thing is, around the ring you have people who are anxious to secure this animal, and they'll say, I'm going to buy this one. You can be totally anonymous, of course, and ignore what the man has said to you. If he was beside you, naturally enough, he would stop, you know. But the fact you can be anonymous by bidding on the phone online is helpful to you.
And as an auctioneer, you're covering like a lot of different areas. I mean, most marts are doing land agencies and various other things as well. What would you say is the... What would your favourite part of the job have been after this many years at it?
Well, I'd say I do a horse sale in Cavan, and I think that's... I treat that... I just finished last Wednesday a very good sale in Cavan. I treat that as sort of a holiday, because... and the pedigree sales are also different. Not as buoyant in the last couple of years as they have been heretofore, but they are enjoyable. You meet different people. You meet people from Wales, Scotland, England, and, you know, and the farmer will come up to you and give you... To be an auctioneer, you need a thick neck, you know, but let's call it a spade a spade.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't take... Some people will be happy with you, other people... obviously, the man that's buying wants to secure it as cheaply as possible. The man that's selling wants to get as much as possible. So, you know, it's very difficult to marry both.
Yes, that's the law of the jungle, as they say.
The law of the jungle,
thanks
exactly.
Very much, George, for your time.
You're more than welcome, sir, and keep up the good work.
You're heading back.
Now going to be 26 at 26 and going to be 6. This bull is led expertly by John, as you can see, at 2600 now, at 26 up now, at 50, at 2650, at 2650, 7 now, sell 50, at 750 now, 8, 50, 9. Two five fifty and two six and two six. 6 now, it would have been 6 a minute now, it would have been 2-6, at 2-6.50, now 7, at 7.50 on 9, at 2-7.50, 2-8, at 2-8, then I'm going to be 2-8, going to be 2-8 to low 9, at 2-8 I got, I'm going to be 2-8 to 8, 2-8 to 9, at 2-9 got, I'm going to be 2-9, going to be 9, going to be 2-9, going to be 9, 3,000, at 3,000 got, I'm going to be 3, at 3,000 got, I'm going to be 3 up now, I'm going to be 3 again, I'm going to be 3, going to be 3, going to be 3,000, at 3,000 got now, I'm going to be 3,000, the champion in the ring at 3,000, I'm going to be 3 I got, I'm going to be 3 up now, I'm going to be 3 up now, I'm going to be 3, I'm going to be 3, at 3,000, I'm going to be 3 I got, I'm going to be 3 up now, I'm going to be 3, I'm going to be 3, I'm going to be 3, at 3,000, I'm going to be 3 up now, I'm going to be 3, I'm going to be 3 anymore, I'm going to be 3,000, at 3,000 euro got now, I'm going to be 3,000, champion ball, at 3,000 euro got now, I'm going to be 3,000.
You've been listening to Out the Gap, the Irish Food and Farming Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe. Feel free to share it with your friends. Until next time.